Good morning. We're going to begin today Hilchos Ribbis. Now, unfortunately, Ribbis seems to be very intimidating to many people. Part of the reason is that when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, there's a tremendous gap in our chinuch. From the day that from the moment a child is born, right away, the child realizes there's something special about Shabbos, there's something special about Yontif. We eat differently, our schedule is different, we dress differently. And a child grows up with an appreciation of what Shabbos is and an awareness of Hilchos Shabbos. When it comes to Kashrus or many of the other mitzvahs also, from a very young age, children become used to, and you're mechanech them about what you could eat and what you can't eat, and milchiks and fleishiks. And it's part of their life, part of their growing up. That very same child, from literally the day he's born, his great uncle will buy him a savings bond, his parents will open a bank account for him, he'll start accruing interest and saving for the future. He gets a little older, his parents give him a credit card and then a mortgage. So interest in Ribbis is very much part of our life. It's very much part of modern commerce. And therefore, it's perhaps no surprise when you start learning Hilchos Ribbis and you start learning that there's an Isser Chomer to charge another Yid interest. It doesn't come naturally. And therefore, it's a limud, it's a topic which it's especially important to spend some time and to go through the halachas. Now, in spite of Ribbis' intimidating reputation, as we're going to see, in general, most of Hilchos Ribbis is fairly straightforward. We'll take it slow, piece by piece, and we'll see again, any given part is fairly straightforward and fairly understandable. And I don't believe it's nearly as scary as it's cracked up to be. Now, we're going to change the format of this year slightly. Because of the size of Hilchos Ribbis, we're going to be following the Seder of Shulchan Aruch. We have copies of the Shulchan Aruch that were put out in the corner if anyone can take. And we're going to start Simen Kuf Nun Tes. The Mechaber in Sif Aleph writes, Dvar Toiro mutur lahalvois oivet kachovim beribbis. Midoi Raisa, you're allowed to lend a goy and charge him interest. The Isser of Ribbis in the Torah applies only when both parties, the borrower and the lender, are Jewish. If either of them is a goy, there's absolutely nothing wrong with charging him interest or paying interest to him. Now this itself tells us a lot about Hilchos Ribbis. I think the most basic question people have is, what's wrong with charging interest? If you borrow my car, I can charge you rent. If you live in my house, I can charge you rent. So if you're taking my money, if you're using my capital, what is wrong with charging rent? Now, that's a good question. There are different approaches among the Rishonim and the Achronim, and we'll get to that over the next few weeks. But one thing that we see from this halacha is that there's nothing inherently wrong from charging interest. If charging interest was like geza, if it was something which is an avla, it's an intrinsically wrong, then a goy would not be allowed to charge interest to a yid. And a yid would not be able to charge interest to a goy. From the fact that it's mutter, it applies only when both parties are Jewish, that itself proves to us that it's not something which is inherently wrong. It's something which, as we'll see, it's the Avi Nezer is safer on Hilchos Ribbis, his country, is called a bris achim. Charging interest is not how you do business with a brother. And we're going to see it's very much based on the fact that there's a mitzvah of v'cheyach icho imach. A yid has a responsibility to be mechaya, to be mefarnes another yid. There's a chiyuv to give imtesev talva. There's a chiyuv to lend a money to a yid interest free. And because of that, the Torah said charging interest is going to be aser. But it's not something which is inherently wrong, and that's why it applies only when they're both Yisraelim. It doesn't apply to a guy. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a little bit of a star, and if you look down on the bottom underneath the shach, what it says is, "Bris nichris b'Yisrael al pi ha-toyros yu yachav b'chevro goyim el chesed zel lezeh chinom lebi yikach ish me'Yisrael ribis v'neshach." This footnote apparently was added because of the censors. The censors were not happy that the first halacha in Hilchos Ribbis is that we discriminate against goyim and against people who are not from. So in order to explain it and make it more palatable to the goy, what it writes in is that the reason why Ribbis applies only between Jews is that Yiddishkeit is sort of like one big free loan society. If you're a member of the society, you're entitled to a free loan and you have to give free loans. A goy or a mummer who is not part of the society therefore has no schus and has no claim or no right to demand a free loan, since he would not extend a free loan to another Yisrael. Now this was clearly added for the censors. It's not part of the Shulchan Aruch. But this a similar concept is mentioned in the Poskim, that again, it's because of the Bris Achim, it's because of the Achva and the Chiv that we have to another Yid. And again, we're going to see this is going to make a very big difference in Halacha L'maisa. Now this Halacha, that Ribbis applies only when both parties are Yidden, is, if you think about it, it makes life a lot easier. Whenever you run into a problem in Hilchos Ribbis, so again, as we will see very often, there's a way around it. You can write a hatarisko, there'll be an etza. But at the end of the day, if you're stuck, you always have the option of borrowing or dealing with a guy. It's an option that's always there on the table. Now, lahavdil, it seems that Muslims who follow the Sharia, I don't know how many there are in America, but they are not allowed to pay or charge interest, and they have no hetzer of dealing with an akum. And therefore, it seems that if the frum ones cannot take out a mortgage, they cannot open a bank account, and they can't deal with any finance because they don't have any such exclusion for an infidel. Seems they can kill them, but they can't charge them interest. And it's very difficult for them to manage in today's modern economic system. It seems that one of the big hatzalos for them is that there was a bank in Chicago that was owned by a bunch of yidduch, and they came up with a schap, and they came up with a Muslim version of a heteriska. But be yisayda davar, they're stuck. Again, leave it to the Jews. Excuse me. They have their own. We're going to focus on Shulchan Aruch. But you should just realize that again, for us, we always have the option. You can always deal with a guy. There's always a way out. To let them deal with each other. So let's go back to the halacha. So Devar Torah mutar lahabas levikachom beribis. The mechaber is saying that midoraisa you're allowed to charge a guy interest. Now this mechaber is arguing on the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam says, not only is a person allowed to charge interest to a goy, the Rambam has a chiddush based on a sifra. He says it is a mitzvah to charge interest to a goy. Now this is very geshmak a mitzvah. Anyone who has money in the bank account is charging ribbis to a goy. So l'chayra, according to the Rambam, as we sit here today, well, I don't know about Sunday, but every day that goes by, you're being malva ribbis to an akum. According to the Rambam, there's a kiyum of a mitzvah sasei doiraisa. Now, the truth is, it's not so simple. Because in Hilchos Ribbis, I think probably the most famous kula that there is in Hilchos Ribbis is there's a famous psak from the Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe held it's a kula, but Igros Moshe was machadish. That the halachos of ribbis apply only when one yid borrows from another yid. There has to be a Jewish borrower, a person, someone who has a personal responsibility to pay back the money. However, Zucker of Moshe, if a corporation borrows money from a Yid, even if the corporation is completely owned by Jews, since the owners are not personally liable, they don't have any Prius Balchayv Mitzvah, there's no Shibud Haguf, it's just a claim that the lender has against the assets of the corporation. So if Moshe is mechadish, there's no iser ribbis. And a Jewish corporation can borrow money, no problem with ribbis. Again, if it's a personal guarantee, this won't apply. But as long as it's a non-recourse, it's only against assets, Igros Moshe was mechadish, that it's mutter. Now again, we'll discuss this Igros Moshe in a future shiur. Some people are stoimach on it, some people are not. But if you go with Rav Moshe's chiddush, Ribis applies only when there's a shibud aguf. So if that's true, when you let one or deposit money in a bank, the goyish bank has no shibud aguf. It's a corporation. So the chayr will come out of Moshe, even though it's a kula on when you're dealing with a yid, it'll come out it's a chumra when you're dealing with a guy. The same way there's no issur ribis to charge a corporation interest. Mistama, according to Rav Moshe, there'll be no kiyum mitzvah of lending a goyish bank and charging them interest. So if you want to be mekayim the shita Rambam, you want to be mekayim this mitzvah, you mistama have to find a private goy and lend him money with personal achrayas, and then you'll be mekayim the mitzvah mahajan mina mahajan. Yes, once it's a personal guarantee, then Rav Moshe's heter will not apply when you're dealing with a Jew. And l'chayr with a personal guarantee, the mitzvah according to the Rambam would certainly apply. Now, what's pshat in this mitzvah? What does it mean as a mitzvah to lend a goy and charge him interest? I understand to say that there's a mitzvah to give an interest-free loan to a Yisrael. We understand it's a chesed. But what exactly is the mitzvah? What are you accomplishing by charging a goy interest? So the Chinuch in Tafkuf Ayin Gimel says a very nice pshat. He says it's a mitzvah to lend money to a Yisrael and not to charge him interest. Being goyim al chesed, you're helping another yid, you're helping Baris Achim, it's a beautiful thing. Zak the Chinuch. The reason why there's a chiyuv to charge interest to a goy is to show that the reason why you're giving this interest-free loan to the Yisrael is not stam because you have extra cash sitting around and you don't know where to invest it. It's not because you're a shlamazel, you don't know how to charge interest. The reason why you're giving it to the Yisroel b'chinam is because he's a yid. And b'chichu imach, you have an obligation to do chesed, you have an obligation to help another yid who's an oyved Hashem. So by going and making sure that whenever you deal with a goy, you charge him interest, go out of your way to make sure it is not for free, it is not b'chinam, you're doing it and you're making money off it. That shows that when the next day you turn around and you do a chesed to Yisrael, it shows it's being done because he's a yid, because he's a shomer Torah and mitzvahs, and that's the pshat in the mitzvah. Okay. Chinuch is saying time of the crow. He's saying, you want to know what the pshat in the mitzvah is? It's to bring out this contrast. I don't know if he's saying that you're not mekayim the mitzvah if you don't lend to Yisrael, but you are bringing out a good point. There's a Gemara, the Gemara that we saw today, says, in Kesef Taves Ami, Ami v'nochri Ami koidim. That if a goy comes to you and a yid comes to you and wants to borrow money, the Yisrael comes first. So the Gemara asks, Pshito, well, of course you're going to give it to Yisrael first. So the Gemara answers, no. It means if the nochri is b'schar, the goy is ready to pay interest, the Yisrael is not. So the Gemara is saying there's a din kedima that you should first be malva the money to the Yisrael. So they ask the Kash and the Rambam. If you hold there to Rishos, then good. Lending to Yisrael is a mitzvah. Lending to a goy is a Rishos. So even though you're going to lose money, the Gemara is coming to tell you it's better to give the money to a Yisrael. But according to the Rambam, they're both mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to charge the goy interest, there's a mitzvah to give it to the Yisrael without interest. So why is there kedima? Why don't you do we may as well pick the one that's more profitable. It's, take your choice. Comes out according to the Chinuch, it's beautiful. Because the whole mitzvah of charging a goy beribis is just to show that when you do the mitzvah of kesef talva, you're doing it as a real chesed. But if you're going to give kedima to the goy and you're not going to lend any money to the Yisrael beribis because you're busy making money and charging interest off the goyim, then you're defeating the purpose. Sky mitzvah. Okay, it's a nice drush. So this is the Shittas Rambam. There's a mitzvah that every time you lend money to a goy, you charge him interest, you give him a kind of mitzvah. Now, most Rishonim argue it's very difficult to understand how the Rambam learned the Gemara that we had this morning. So most Rishonim and the Mechaber Paskins, not like this Rambam, is the very Torah mutter lahavos leiv kachavim beribis. It's mutter, but it is not a mitzvah. And again, it's a Shittas Rambam. If you want to be machmer, I guess there's no downside. But lahalacha we hold, it is not one of the mitzvahs, and it's a rishus, it's not a mitzvah. And the Mechaber continues, that although midoy raisa, you're allowed to charge a goy interest, the chachamim said that it's asr. The Gemara explains, the chachamim, we were afraid, shema yomay mimaisav. Chazal were afraid that if you were able to, if you were allowed to charge a goy interest, it is a very lucrative profession, or at least it was a very lucrative profession until recently. And we're afraid Shema Yomo Mimaisov. You're gonna lend him money. You're gonna have to stay on good terms with him because you want to eventually get that money back. And therefore, you're going to be spending time with him. You're going to have to have a good relationship with him. And we're afraid, Shema Yom Mimaisov, maybe you'll learn from him. And therefore, Chazal said that it's Asr. Now, interestingly, this Isr is only one way. Chazal said it's Asr to lend money to a goy because you're going to go and you're going to learn from him. There was never any Isr to borrow from a goy and pay him interest. And the reason is simple. When you borrow money from a guy and you owe him interest, the last person a borrower wants to spend quality time with is his creditor. So you're not going to be Yomim Maisav. If you borrow money from him, you're not going to be answering his phone calls. You're going to be staying as far away as possible as you can. And we're not afraid to send by Yomim Maisav. It's only the other way. If you lend the guy money, and now you're going to be going out of your way, you're hoping to collect it one day, then we're afraid Shema Yomim Maisav. Maybe you'll be influenced by him. And Chazal said that it's Asr. Now, the Taz and others speak out. Why are you picking on Ribbis? Why Ribbis? If Chazal have a problem, then whenever you deal with a goy, you'll be shtemel yomim b'maisav, Chazal should say, you can't do any business. Why are we singling out being malvah b'Ribbis? So the Taz explains, because every other industry that you're in, you'll have some clients that are Jewish, some clients that are goy. And the Lavush adds, probably most of your clients will be Jewish. There's a mitzvah of chisim kru memkar la misecha. There's an inyan or a chiyuv, depending on the shitas, of doing business with or giving priority to a Jewish client to doing business with other Jews. So most professions, you can assume, you'll spend most of your time among other Jews. Ribbis is something which you cannot be malva to Yisrael. So if you go into the money lending business, your clients will be exclusively goyim, and therefore Chazal said that it's Asr. Now, although Chazal said that it's Asr, there are a number of exclusions. The Mechaber continues, Im loy kidei chayav. The Isr is only getting rich off lending with Ribbis. Kidei chayav, what you need for your parnasa, Chazal never said that it's Asr. They're trying to point out the pasuk that the asmachta for this is Mar Bohino Veneshach of a Tarvis, someone who increases his wealth with Neshach and Tarvis, so that's talking about Ribbis to a guy. The Madaik, Mar Bohino, you have a rebor, you make a killing off it, that's something that you shouldn't be doing. But Kidechayov, what you need for your Parnasa, Chazal never said that it's Asa. Mechaber continues, the second exclusion, Oyu Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, there is no Isser of being Malva Beribis to a guy. If the whole problem is Shema Yoma Mimaisa, that he's going to be hanging around a guy, he's going to learn from him. So the place can say, the Talmud Chacham, who has better things to do with his time, we are not afraid is going to be hanging out with a guy, and therefore we don't have a problem with Shema Yoma Mimaisa, and it will be Mutter. Oy Beribis Rabbanon. The third exclusion is that it applies only by Ribis Doi Raisa. When you lend money and there's a tzitzas ribbis, you say, here's $1,000, pay me back $1,100, that's ribbis doi raisa, that applies when you're dealing with a goy. However, any of the cases of ribbis rabbanon, which we'll see whenever it's mekach u'memkar, whenever you're dealing with you didn't lend money, you're buying or selling things, whenever there's no tzitza, all of those cases, there's not going to be any isser, either it's a gzera l'gzera or other cheshbonos. So the Isser Ribbis to a goy applies only by Ribbis Dairais. Now the Mechaber continues, Va'idna Mutter B'chol Inyan. Zach the Mechaber, although the Gemara says there's Chazal made an Isser to lend money to a goy by Ribbis, today the Isser does not apply. Now the Taisus that we saw this morning says a number of reasons for this. Either we pass him like the other Lashon in the Gemara, that there was no such Isser. Or perhaps the Taisus other teretz is today everything is kedei chayov. Today, because of the amount of taxes people pay, whatever they need, all the money that they can get their hands on. There's no such thing as extra, and therefore the isser does not apply. A third reason mentioned in Taisus is that today, regardless, we do business primarily among non-Jews. Since we're either way spending a lot of time among the Goyim, we don't have the luxury to do business internally. Therefore, today it doesn't make sense to say that Ribbis is more usur than anything else, and therefore today the Takana will not apply. And the truth is, these reasons all need explanation. Chazal made a gezeira. I think Marbitz could be even from Shlomo HaMelech, that it's usur to charge a goy interest. Now it's true, we have a very nice argument that the reasons for the takana shouldn't apply. Anyway, we're dealing with goyim, but what gives us the right on our own to just to take a takanas chazal and say, because the reasons don't apply today, we don't have to follow a takana? Where do you find such a thing? If there's a takana, if chazal made a gezeira, normally you need, if you can only be mavatal a takana, when you have a bezin which is galdo b'chachum of a minion, they can go ahead and they can decide that takana doesn't apply. But here, how can Taisus just say a svara and throw out the gezeira? So the place I'm going to explain is that we see this whole isser, this whole gezeira in the first place, had a lot of loopholes. If it's a Talmud Chacham, we're not worried that he'll be given Maisav, there's no isser. Kidei Chayav, no isser. Ribbis Rabbanon, no isser. Zok the Paiskim, you see, it wasn't a blanket gezeira that Chazal got up there charging interest to a guy's asr. What they did is they said, in cases where there's a chashash, Hashem Yilmi Maisav, it's asr. Therefore, any of these exclusions, where it's Kidei Chayav, or where it's a Talmud Chacham, where the reason doesn't apply, from day one, the takana was never said in a case where the reasons don't apply. Since the takana originally was done al tanai, if you will, that it applies only where the svara applies, therefore today where the svaras don't apply at all, that's why Tosfos says it will be mutter l'kulayam. Now halacha again, the mechaber says very clearly the issur of being malv ribbis to a goy does not apply. Afa Pike in the Chachamos Odom says that a Yorei Shemayim, a person who is able to be machmir, should be machmir. We certainly see from the Gemara that Chazal wanted to minimize our involvement, our entanglement with Goyim. And therefore, you know, certainly if a person has an option, if a person has you know, it's certainly better to have less to do with Goyim than more to do with Goyim. And certainly there is a Midas Chasidus to be Zohar in this Inyan. But lahalacha, the mechaber is very clear, that lahalacha, the Isser does not apply today.
Correct.
Again, the Rambam is Kamana Dasi Achad. It's all the Rishonim, and it's, you know, Kamana Gemara against it. He had different gears, he went with a Sifra, you know, made a Machlokas HaSugyos, but and a Chanami. Yes. Although even in the Rambam, it's not so clear in the Rambam that you have a chiyuv right now to go ahead. If you have money in your pocket, you have a chiyuv to find the guy and lend it to him and charge him interest. The way the chinuch says the mitzvah is when you're lending him money, don't do it for free. Charge him ribbis. But it doesn't mean that you have a proactive chiyuv to lend him the money and charge him. So it's not quite. It's not like they're going ahead and telling you don't do it. They're telling you don't lend at all. Okay, fair enough. I don't know if every Yorei Shemayim is a Talmud Chacham. I would hope every Talmud Chacham is a Yorei Shemayim, but I don't know about the other way around. One more time. Right. So this is the case. So because over here, even in the Gemara, it says a bunch of exceptions. A Talmud Chacham. So why is Talmud Chacham excluded? Because the Svara doesn't apply. So that means this Takana was different. The Takana was, when there's a problem of Shema Yomayid, don't be Malva to a guy. And therefore, if today there's no Shema Yomayid, the guy would agree there's no Issa. There's normally made a blanket Takana, and so even though there is a Svara mentioned somewhere, we don't throw out the Takana because we think that the Svara doesn't apply. But when the Gezeira Gufa included this and included and was and there were exclusions based on this svara, then if today it doesn't apply, we have the right to say that we're not going to follow it today. Okay, so this is the halacha of dealing with a guy. Let's move on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis Mechaber writes, Mumur mutter lahalvois beribis. That not only is it mutter to lend a guy in charge of interest, a mumur, someone who is either a yid who is either oivet avodah zarah, or the way most poskim write, if he is a mumur lahachis, he is shavei keter v'achol yisura. You give him two pieces of meat, one is kosher and one is treif, and he goes ahead and he eats the treif one for no good reason other than lahachis. He wants to do the aveira. So such a person is mutter lahalvoisei v'ribis. You're allowed to charge him interest. Now this needs an explanation. Although he's a mumur, although he may be oivet avodah zarah, he's still a yid. So why are you allowed to charge him interest? So there are three reasons mentioned in the Poskim, and there are tremendous nafkaminas between them. The first is, it's quoted b'shem the Ramban, that throughout the parasha of Ribbis, l'nochri sashach lo'achicha lo'y sashach. It says the issue of Ribbis is lo'achicha to your brother lo'y sashach. Zok the Ramban, a mumr lahachis is not called achicha. Since he's not called achicha, the issue of Ribbis doesn't apply. That's the Shitas Ramban. The Tur doesn't take it that far. He says no. Afbi shechet yisraelu. Even if he doesn't have heirs, he's still called a chicha. But in the parasha of Ribbis, it says you're not allowed to take Ribbis. V'chei achicha imach, and your brother should live with you. The Gemara learns from this pasuk that when you take Ribbis, you have mitzvah, and if you take Ribbis be'eser, you have to return it. You have to give it back because the pasuk says v'chei achicha imach. Zok the Tur, the whole time the Yisra Ribbis applies is only to someone where you have a chiyuv of v'chei achicha. You have a chiyuv to support him, you have a chiyuv to give him stocker, you have a chiyuv to be mechaya him, you can't take interest from him. But a person, even if he's a yid, even if he's called achicha, if there's no mitzvah of v'chei, if you don't have an obligation to support him, via Zok the Tur, there's no Yisra Ribbis. So, an afkamina between these two pshatim would be, what happens if there's a meiser? A meiser, a malshin, someone who goes ahead and he informs on Jews, he turns them over to a goyish government. Now, such a person is certainly a yid. He's shomer Torah mitzvos, he's just a malshin. So, if you go with the Ramban's reason, he's called a chicha, and you can't be malva beribis to him. However, the halacha is a malshin, the halacha is that you're allowed to kill him. And if you're not allowed to kill him, be a dayim, you're allowed to be goyrim yisasa. There's no chiyuv v'chei achicha. You don't have to save his life. He's a roidif. So therefore, according to the Torah, since there's no mitzvah of v'chei achicha imoch, since there's no chiyuv to be mechayehim, there would be no iser to charge him interest either. A third reason mentioned in the Poskim is that since his guf is motor, since you're allowed to kill him, says a kal v'chomer. Madach, you're allowed, we don't have to worry about his guf, we certainly don't have to worry about his mamon, and therefore be motor to charge him interest. Now the Mechaber paskins, mumur motor lavois v'ribis, that is motor to charge a mumur interest, but v'asr lulvois mimeno v'ribis. The heter is only one way. You can charge him interest, but you can't borrow and pay him interest. And the reason is, when you're lending him the money, so it's not a chicha, you can charge him the interest. The other reason also, there's no chiyuv v'chei achicha, there's no chiyuv to be mechaya him, so there's nothing wrong with taking interest from him. However, when the tables are turned, when he's lending you the money, a mumur has a chiyuv to give tzedakah to an erel chiyur, there's a chiyuv v'chei. So therefore, he has no heter to charge you interest. So if you borrow and you pay him interest, you're going to be over an iser of lifnei iver. The other way also, although a mumr is not considered your achicha because he's not doing the mitzvahs, you are considered his achicha. He is still chayiv in all the mitzvahs, and therefore, if he's lending you money and charging you interest, then he's over the iser. So because of lifnei iver, you would not be able to borrow from him beribis. This is the psak of the Mechaber. That is mutter to charge a mumur ribis. The Ramah argues. The Ramah says v'yesh machmirin af mumur lahalvoisa. Some shitas, the shitas Rashi, is that a mumer, you cannot charge him interest. So the Rambam writes, V'toyiv lahachmer im efshir lihishamet mimera. A person should be machmer like the Shitas Rashi, and a person should not be malva even to a mumer, even if a person is not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, you should not charge him interest in efshir lihishamet mimenu. Now this language in the Rambam is a very interesting language. He says, V'toyiv lahachmer, it's good to be machmer. So it sounds like this is a chumrah. It sounds like really the Rambam agrees to the mechaver, it's mutter. But V'toyiv lahachmer, because it's a machlokes, it's better to be machmer. But the Rambam adds, in efshir lihishamet mimenu, you can get away from it. So it's first tzvi is medayik from this Rambam, that you should only be machmer if you don't have to do business with him at all. You can avoid doing the deal, so stay away, don't be malvim beribis because it's a machlokes. However, zakta tzveres tzvi, if you're stuck, you have to lend him the money, and now you have a question of, should I charge him interest or not? There the tzveres tzvi says, you should charge him ribis. There's an iser of doing a chesed or being mefarnes in mummer. If someone is a mummer, you shouldn't be giving him stock or you shouldn't be mefarnes him. And therefore, to give him a halva and not charge him interest might be also. Therefore, in such a case where you're stuck lending it to him, there, even the Ramah would agree, it's better to charge him interest than to not charge him. The Levush and Mordechai in Siman Tadi Aleph has a case which today is fairly common. A person bought a bunch of notes from a guy. He bought the notes. They were obviously accruing interest. And he finds out that one of the borrowers was a Yisrael who was a mummer. So like this. To collect the interest that accrued before he bought the note, there is generally his mutter. Again, Kuf Samaches, we'll revisit it, we'll go through the details. But generally, whatever accrued until you bought it, that was between the deal with it, at that point was between the Yisrael and the Goy. There's no problem collecting that interest. The problem is, what happens to Mikana Lahaba? If the borrower doesn't pay up, interest is accruing. And at this point, you're the Malva, you've bought the note, so now the interest is accruing between two Jews. We have a problem in Hilchos Ribbis. Zakta Levushe Mordechai, it'll be mutter because of our halacha. Even since the borrower in this case was a mummer, although we're machmer, we do not lend money in charge to a mummer in charge of interest lecharchila. But b'di'eved, if you're stuck in the situation, then fakert, you should charge him the interest. In this case is clearly b'di'eved. This case, you bought the note, the person would have been very happy to foreclose to collect it right away. The borrower wasn't paying. So since it's already b'di'eved, he's already in the situation, and now it's just a question of, does he make it an interest-free deal, or does he charge him the interest? There, the Levushe Mordechai paskins that faker, the right thing to do is to charge the interest. Yeah, so he discusses that. He brings a raya from a rosh that you're a malva, and it's a shayla v'doraisa. Even though the tzitzah, the deal, was done beheter, now that you've took over the note, you have to do the right kinyan, but now that you've taken over the note, now it's your money and the interest is accruing on a debt between a yid and another yid, there the rosh is meduyik, that would be daraisa. Now the Tversi has another question about what happens if you're malva beribis. He didn't realize there was a neser. Then, after you collected the interest, this yid who borrowed the money from you went off the derech. He became a mummer. So what do you do now? So the iser of collecting ribbis, you're already over. The problem is that normally when you're over the iser ribbis, there's a mitzvah of a cheyachicha. You give back the money, and it's a lav nitik lase. Over here, now that the person became a mummer, there's no mitzvah of a cheyachicha anymore. A mummer, we said, there's no mitzvah of a chey. So therefore, giving back the money, the chavis das paskins, accomplishes nothing. When you're malva beribis and you collect it, you collect the money, it's yours. The only reason why they give it back is the mitzvah of a cheyachicha. Since in this case he became a mummer and now the yisur doesn't apply, so the Chavis Da says there's no reason to give it back. Where you'll have a more serious question is what happens if you're malva beribis to a yisrael. Before he pays you back, he becomes a mummer. The question is now, can you collect the interest from the person who was a mummer if the original halva was done be'isr? So normally in Hilchos Ribbis, we'll get to, there are two yisurim. There's one yisur when you lend the money, There's another Isser when you collect it. Now, the second Isser, as far as collecting it, that won't apply here. Because since at the time you collect it, he's a mummer, so there's no Isser of taking the money from a mummer. The problem is, what about the first Isser? When you lent it to him and you agree, and he agreed, there was a tzitzas remes. He borrowed it and he agreed to pay the interest. So the Sharadeya first says, okay, that was awesome. But that Isser was done already. As soon as you lent him the money, you're over that Isser, and that's done. So now you may as well take the interest. Then the Sharadeya says no. He says like this, even though the Sharadeya paskins, that the moment you lend someone the money, you're over the Isser right away, that's only al tanai that you eventually collect the money. If you never collect the money, then it's not called a tzitza. Therefore, like the Sharadeya, it's true right now he's a mummer. And it's true right now there's no Isser, the Isser ribas doesn't apply. But if you collect the money, then it'll come out l'mafreya. That tzitza, the agreement to pay ribas that was done before he was a mummer, that was b'Isser. And therefore, the Sharadeya paskins, you cannot be go over the ribbis because then it'll come out l'mafreya. You're over the iser of a ktitzas ribbis. It'll be the same halacha. It'll be a very similar halacha. Again, there are certain takanos over there, but conceptually, it'll be the same halacha. That whatever accrued until he converted, you can collect. From the day he converted and on, then you have a problem. What? So since he paid you back already, it's your money. There was no Isser, you're coined it, it's yours. So we don't go back, l'mafreya. However, the Mrebino and the Minchas Pitim both argue. They both say that the only time the Ktzitza is Aser is if you agree to pay ribbis and you end up collecting ribbis b'Isser. In this case, since the interest that you collected was not b'Isser, because he came a mummer afterwards, so he said, in that case, they say there would be no problem, even on the original ktitza, you wouldn't be over the Isser, and you can go ahead and you can be over the chayiv. Now, if he does tshuva, now you might have a problem. Because if you lend money to a mummer and you collect it, and then he does tshuva, it's too late. It's your money, you collected it. But if when you collect it, if he does tshuva, if he was a Yisrael, and then he became a mummer, and then he does tshuva, so they already, the Karen HaTaira, the Chatzko Roth says, Tshuva, especially if it's Domi Ava, is Zedoinus or Nasa Keschuyos. So in such a case, he says it'll be Oikr Lamafreya and you'll be stuck with an Isser Ribbis. But in a typical case, where he was a mummer before you started the deal, he's a mummer after you started the deal, once you collect the money, even if he does Tshuva later, it won't change anything and you'll be able to keep the money. What? Also, the same thing. If you collected it before he became a ger, it's certainly not a problem. If he was Megayer, then we're going to discuss it later, but essentially, the money that accrued until he was Megayer, you can collect. The money that accrued afterwards, you certainly cannot collect because now it's between two Yisraeli. Now, this is all talking about a real mumer, who mahajim and a mahajim, a person who's a real koifer. Today, things are much less clear. Today, many people have the status of a tinik shenishba, and that we'll have to deal with next week.